Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, December 9th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Tools here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. It is a 27 snowy degrees and very damp and cold here in upstate New York. We only received a few inches overnight, but parts of New York down south got hit with a freight train called Lake Effect. So I don't know what the grand totals will be by Saturday, but it is an ongoing event. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Global Health Executive Order, 21st Century Cures Act, Biotech Orgy, and The Matrix. And that pretty much encompasses, I would say, at least this last week, maybe even the last 2 weeks. We've connected all these dots together, and we came up with a really, really scary picture. And I will guarantee you today we are going to dig into a little bit more and look at some of the Brain Initiative and some of the advancements that have been made very recently. And with this advent of the 21st Century Cures Act, these are going to become accelerated. Remember, Obama, in regards to precision medicine, which he launched back in, I believe it was February of 2015, they accelerated that. As 2016 came into play, February 25th of 2016, and now, as of November, he announces an executive order titled Advancing the Global Health Security Agenda to Achieve a World Safe and Secure from Infectious Disease Threats. Now, we looked at the history of the U.S. Biowarfare Program, and I found something interesting yesterday when I was doing my notes. You know, back in, I believe it was 1969, there was a ratification of this Biological Weapons Convention. Everyone finally inked on in 72. And that was when we officially, quote unquote officially, ended our biological and chemical warfare programs. They were working on those over in Fort Detrick, Maryland. I've mentioned that before, as well as at Plum Island. And they had an animal pathogen lab there as well. Remember, with biological and chemical weapons, what you want to go after, and this is where Dr. Huber's expertise and work with Fort Detrick came in, was with animal and plant pathogens. And if you dig into biological and chemical weapons, one of the big things that they would do is try to take out an enemy by wiping out their food supply. Now, if we think back in history with Agent Orange and things of that nature, that's exactly what they were. They were defoliants to kill. I mean, they had jungles there as well, but it could also be used to kill crops. Don't think that was developed for farmers. It was developed for warfare. And what's interesting about Agent Orange even is that there is a long-term generational effect now that it has on children of those veterans that were exposed to that agent. We are looking at a million times beyond that now. This biological warfare program that has been going on covertly since 1972 was all being done in the name of defensive postures. It is part of our inking of that Biological and Chemical Weapons Convention. Says President Richard M. Nixon issued his statement on chemical and biological defense policies and programs. This was on November 25th, 1969, in a speech from Fort Detrick. How amazing is that? And the statement ended, unconditionally, that all U.S. offensive, remember he says offensive, biological weapons programs. We will end them all. Nixon noted that the biological weapons were unreliable. And he stated, quote, the United States shall renounce the use of lethal biological agents and weapons. So I think lethal is another key term. And all other methods of biological warfare. The United States will confine its biological research. Ding, ding, ding. So we're saying that it's done, but it's not done. Our quote-unquote research to defensive measures such as immunization and safety measures. Now, we take a look at what is being launched upon the public with the advent of this 21st Century Cures Act. We've had DARPA in different laboratories that have been contracted to work on this, that bid on the project, working on shape-shifting immune systems, ding, to be able to respond to any biological, viral, bacterial threat by creating a quote-unquote smart immune system that actually goes in and modifies our genes. It's a genetic therapy. But it'll be like the one and only immunization that you're ever going to need, because it'll be able to take care of everything. Our safety measures, well, don't worry about it, because Obama, on his way out the door, inks his executive order advancing the global health security agenda to achieve a world, like I said the other day, our new way to imperialize, safe and secure from infectious disease threats. Another type of security is the DARPA Safe Genes Project. And that Safe Genes Project was the digital rights management for our genome to be able to lock them down. So just in case, accidentally on purpose, some rogue CRISPR genes get out into the environment, we won't be overwritten by somebody's lunacy. I mean, how insane is that? That we are looking at having to have our genes locked down because Clapper went in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee and announced that CRISPR was a WMD. It's all being done in the name of immunization and safety measures, per Nixon's quotation when he announced we are ending the program. In a speech, Nixon called his move unprecedented. And it was, in fact, the first review of the U.S. biological warfare program since 1954. And despite the lack of reviews, so think about it. So we've had this biological and chemical warfare program, according to Wikipedia, that started somewhere there's about 1918 and continued 100% unchecked till 1954. That's crazy. 40 years of Operation Paperclip scientists and whoever they garnered from World War I scientists, Department of Energy, Department of Defense, and then the advent of DARPA. And before that, we had the National Institute of Health, and that was where they handed off some of the responsibility for experimental medicine was to DARPA. So anyway, this was in fact the first review of the U.S. biological warfare program since 1954. This one was in 1969. And despite the lack of review, The biological warfare program had increased in cost and size since 1961. And when Nixon ended the program, the budget was $300 million annually back in 69, or I don't know, they don't say which one or when he inked it in 72. Nixon's statement confined all biological weapons research to defensive only. And he ordered, so defensive, we are on the defensive right now because we have now rogue agents that can utilize these 21st century technologies as WMDs. And he ordered the destruction of the existing U.S. biological arsenal. U.S. biological weapon stocks were destroyed, wink, over the next few years, except for the few we forgot, on top of the filing cabinets and put into Ziploc baggies. Yeah, don't worry about those. A $12 million disposal plan was undertaken at Pine Bluff Arsenal, where all U.S. anti-personnel biological agents, anti-personnel, that's a nice way to put it, anti-personnel biological agents were stored. That's a pretty horrifying thought. That plan was completed in May of 1972 and included decontamination of facilities at Pine Bluff. I wonder if they used a what's it called, where they have a flamethrower to take that sucker out. Other agents, which included anti-crop agents, that was what I was saying, going after crops, animals, and humans, apparently anti-personnel, including anti-crop agents such as wheat stem rust, were stored at Beale Air Force Base and the Rocky Mountain Arsenal. These anti-crop agents, along with agents at Fort Detrick, and that's where Dr. Huber had done his work with them, and so that verifies that, because that is where the anti-crop agents were as well, used for research purposes, were all destroyed in March of 1973. Somewhere in here, I had seen a list. And I'm not going to look for it now, but there was a list somewhere of all the different places that they had stored these materials over the years, and it was quite shocking. And, you know, we've talked about now, you know, the complete oversight, undersight of not watching containment level 4 pathogens. Right now, we've had a few faux pas over the last few years between the Department of Defense and the unkilled anthrax they shipped to hundreds of labs across the globe, to the CDC and the smallpox and the Ziploc baggies. I mean, it's very frightening because these are people who are supposed to 100% follow the letter of the law for making sure that this stuff doesn't get out. But now we have all these new 21st century technologies off the hook, traveling at lightning speed because of the advancements in computing power, databasing, artificial intelligence, deep learning, Dr. Smartphone, powered by Dr. Watson. That's going to happen, people. You know, we've covered now quite at length this whole new revolution in healthcare, and the global growth market over the next few years is going to be major. They're going to be able, this 21st Century Cures Act, which, by the way, we've talked about it for a few days now as a big part of the show, but we've been covering that 21st Century Cures Act since, I think, early last year at some point when it first was introduced and how frightening it was. Well, RT News seems to be the only one that has the most recent story. Everything else I saw this morning was already from 4 days ago when it passed the House. But the 21st Century Cures Act, yesterday afternoon, passed the Senate, which was the second leg of its journey, and it is now headed to Obama's desk. The story that we read yesterday had cited that they were hoping by the end of the week and absolutely before the beginning of 2017 and the end of this lame duck session that this was going to be passed. So check this out. 21st Century Cures Act goes to Obama after Senate passage. And this was yesterday afternoon, December 8th, 2016 at 3:45 p.m. 21st Century Cures Act is heading to Barack Obama's desk after passing the Senate. Many are celebrating, but progressive Senator Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are concerned that it will provide handouts to the pharmaceutical industry. Now, we read a few stories yesterday, opinion and I don't know, the one out of Wired was very frightening. 21st Century Cures Act, the future of regenerative medicine is inject and see. And that was the first one. The second one was 21st Century Cures Act, a huge handout to the drug industry disguised as pro-research bounty. And that's what we've been saying all along. Well, we have Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren now concerned that, yes, they are giving us up as free R&D research, getting that pesky FDA right out of the way to be able to fast-track everything, get poked in the ass, and hit that approve button. Bing, bing, bing. If people want it, let them buy it. Buyer beware. Caveat emptor. That's another one of those lifelong lessons that my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Feinauer. And the other one was, there is no free lunch. But caveat emptor was one of the other few things that I never forgot. Guys, don't step right up for this machine. You are going to be 1.0. You're going to be fast-tracked. And it's going to cost you bazillions of dollars to get that last chance to grab for that dangling carrot for the promise of immortality, or at least extended life, that gift from the gods. Well, it might not turn out too well for you. You are going to be nothing more than a guinea pig in a big glass level 4 decontamination suit. Anyway, they are concerned it will provide handouts to the pharmaceutical industry, i.e. you as a guinea pig. The 21st Century Cures Act passed the Senate Wednesday in a 94-5 vote, and it is set to land on Obama's desk. And Obama's already spoken out in support of the bill, and he said he'll be happy to sign it into law. Many have welcomed this bill. It's not only a step forward for medical research, but also a sign of bipartisan unity. And like I said yesterday, if you watch that disturbing video they put out, and I will put it again in the notes, I've been putting it in every day we've mentioned it, but it is just so twinky and so syrupy sweet. This is such a great thing. Look, and we are from across the aisle. We are holding hands, and we are singing Kumbaya to the future to give you access, you. You, part of the All of Us program, just step right up, give it all to the machine, and we can cure you. Become a part of our database. Become a part of our free R&D research that you'll be providing us by checking that box to become a part of the grand experiment for the good of humanity. This is what they are doing. But in the meantime, as they're shaking hands across the aisle and smiling, their palms have some Vaseline on them. They've greased them up. And these people have had this opportunity. We've pointed out before, when they looked at banning insider trading in Congress, these guys were the foxes in the hen house, because they voted not to necessarily make it illegal. We've also seen stories how just miraculously, year after year, more and more congressmen, women, people are becoming millionaires. Well, how interesting is that? As public servants, I think we should all aspire for our next jobs 4 years from now to become a part of Congress. We could all get rich. It's pretty funny, and at least I'd have something to say. You know what? I think tit for tat, I could give Rand Paul a filibuster competition. I could talk. But, you know, it's pretty crazy because it makes you wonder, as they're smiling and shaking hands and these complete landslide votes, to be good for the people also means that their bank accounts are going to get big, fat, and sweet. They're going to get their Hawaiian vacations as a kickback. All the doctors are going to get rich. All the app providers are going to get rich. All the AI and tech companies are going to get rich. This is an entire agenda to get rich on you and me. And you know, we found out that as they are crying about the cost of healthcare, and I mean, just like the federal government, just like the $2,500 toilet seat sold to the DOD, you know, healthcare tries to play that same game with $100 aspirin if you're in a hospital, taking advantage of a situation and soaking the taxpayer. In both cases, the taxpayer for the $2,500 toilet seat or the $70,000 SUV that you're paying podunk Mr. Police Chief in your little town of 1,500 people. I think I told you my mother, over the summer, they went to one of the county fairs, and they had a couple booths with some of the police departments from around the area. And there was one that had an MRAP parked behind him. And my mother actually said something to them. Like, do you really think that something like that, I mean, literally was like this tank thing. Do you think something like that is necessary to be spending our money on? You know, what she didn't understand is that they probably got it from the 1099 program. Direct from the federal government's motel, hotel, bottom-out, basement sale, where they pretty much gave their militarized gear away to the local police departments. But anyway, it was pretty crazy. So how did I get off on that? So where do we go from here? We are going to take a look at now some of this next step of 21st century cures. This is something we've been warning about. Is this Brain Initiative? Back in April of 2013, Obama announced the launch of the BRAIN, which stands for, as an acronym, Brain Research Through Advanced Innovative Neurotechnologies Initiative. A bold new initiative focused on revolutionizing our understanding of the human brain. Now, we've established before that one of the reasons why this brain initiative is so important is because, just like a lot of these other 21st century mad science technologies, they are mimicking nature to create their synthetic versions. The Weiss Institute of Biologically Inspired Engineering is evidence of that. We also have Georgie Porgy Church. We got to see what he's doing. I haven't seen anything about him in a while. But good old Georgie Porgy Church, with this creation of the synthetic human genome. We've had robots mimicking bipedal creatures for quite a while now, out of that MIT leg lab. We talked about that. I hope you guys, when I put that link in a while ago, I hope you looked at that, because it was kind of interesting. It was a history of robot locomotion. Anyway, back to this Brain Initiative. The Brain Initiative is one of this administration's quote-unquote grand challenges. Remember, DARPA's had a lot of grand challenges as well. They've had the robotic grand challenge and the cyber grand challenge, one of which produced Atlas, who is now up to 2.0, and they're probably working on 3.0. And one produced that Carnegie Mellon artificial immune system for the Internet of Everything, shape-shifting. Carnegie Mellon, that very same place that Obama then gave his speech about how who the next man sitting in the throne will be in charge of a company. Yeah, pretty much. Will be in charge of a country that will be transformed by artificial intelligence. We've outlined how AI is invading every portion of our future lives. It's very possibly AI could be running the show. You know, I've had a few stories about 12 future possibilities for governments that could one day rule the world for, I'd say, about 3 weeks. And I keep putting more and more stories in front of it. And no, we got to get there one of these days. But that's where this end result all is going to come, is we're going to be drugged with whatever soma. Right now, it's legalized pot. But remember, legalized pot has now allowed for this control infrastructure to be built around it. And now that it's become medicalized, and they're giving it away for all kinds of things, they can use that to control you and to quell you and to keep you docile. I read a study a couple months back about how, you know, like they really had to spend money on this, how smoking pot makes you less ambitious to go out and work. And I was like, oh, well, how convenient is that, since robots are going to be taking all the jobs and they're going to want to give us universal basic income to sit around and eat grapes fed by our home Atlas, our home healthcare robot that'll be dressing us and wiping our butts someday when we get old. Yeah, that robot. And, you know, if they keep us medicated, and now in the not too distant future, they'll be able to give us living therapeutics, programmed little biological agents, just like endpoints on an antivirus software, except these will be monitoring endpoints, just like we use in a network operations center when we are monitoring a network. We've already read about all kinds of different smartphone applications that are already on the market. They can do biosensing. They can monitor you and your vital signs. You know, right now, it's in your smartphone, and you probably have to interact with that smartphone for it to get the bio reading. But at some point in the not-too-distant future, they're going to say, Johnny, we already read about the smart pills. Swallow this and call me in 3 days. Or here, Johnny, take these new probiotics. We're going to call them Synbiotics, and I think that was the name of one of those companies that we'd been dealing with, that we'd read about. Take the Synbiotics, and this will fix you up. Within the next 24 hours, you're going to start to feel some improvements. Within the next 36 hours, Johnny, you're no longer going to have those pesky thoughts about fake news. You're going to forget all about that pizza joint and the email servers and that thing called Benghazi and somebody named Epstein, somebody named Jimmy Savile, and that foundation that was taking kickbacks. I mean, you know, this is where it's going to come to. They will be able... We've read in the past about all kinds of technologies that DARPA was working on, all in the name of curing PTSD for those poor soldiers that have gotten experimental vaccines when they got in, are now going to go to their VA healthcare establishment, and instead of being put on a death list, are now going to be cured by robot doctor, precision medicine, Watson. That same VA is now going to be turned to the people. That VA is going to allow the experimentation on our soldiers, because their data is already a part of the machine. When you ink your name on that contract and you participate in their healthcare system, your data is theirs to do with what they will. You become part of the research. Your participation is your consent. So they are asking now the American people, as part of this All of Us program, right? We read about that yesterday, FKA, the Precision Medicine Initiative Cohort Program, the All of Us Program. And like they said, it's all voluntary, and I add for now. But in the not-too-distant future, as health insurance companies get all on board with this to bring the healthcare costs down and allow them to automate a lot of diagnostics and doctor's visits and apply AI to your symptoms as you take a picture of your rash and do some sort of Google image identification on it, the AI, or maybe just the deep learning or the algorithm, can spit you out 10 or 12 different potential solutions. And if those don't work, well, then come on back and we'll give you a video conference for $40 with a doctor to have a consultation. We've also talked about the future of mental health and the utilization of smartphones. And that's where I get even more concerned, at least for the immediate future, with the advent of 21st century medicine. Because remember, Tommy Insel, the former director as of October of 2015 of the National Institute of Mental Health, moved over to Google's Verily division to work on mental disorders and finding new ways to cure them. Well, Google is a big competitor in the artificial intelligence market. Nine tech giants investing in artificial intelligence, Microsoft, Google, Uber, and more are investing in AI. What is their plan? And who are the other key players? This is out of techworld.com, December 6, 2016. It's hard to pinpoint the exact path that AI will take. Right there, that should get you worried. But with companies such as Google, Facebook, Microsoft, all making huge strides never before seen, and Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk calling for AI to be regulated and monitored, ding, ding, it is definitely a hotly debated topic. The very sad fact of the matter is, though, even though it's hotly debated, in those realms where there are those of us who really see the future implications, there are those of us who could see in the not-too-distant future and go, holy shit, Chuck, we need to back this up. We need to rein it in. And really think about this before we go any further. But the majority of the public have no clue where their devices are leading them. And remember, it is this dangling carrot, this addiction to our devices, to our texts, and our cell phones that is pulling us in like the Pied Piper and a big hunk of Wisconsin cheese to get those dopamine chemicals pumping. You know, I bet you anything, like eating a really good fat chunk of absolutely deliciously fresh Wisconsin cheddar would probably send your dopamine button soaring. It's kind of funny. I could get into some right now. Anyway, I used to have a friend in Wisconsin, and they would send, for Christmas time, they would send a block of Wisconsin cheese. Anyway, the sad fact of the matter is that there are a few industry insiders that seem to have a conscience. Even if they are finding ways to profit from these technologies, they seem to have a conscience to be able to stand up and go, you know, guys, we really should put the brakes on for a little bit and really start plotting out what is going to happen here, because once it happens, it's going to be too late, and then we're going to be playing defensive. You need to be on the offensive, and you need to find a kill switch. Obama, in one of the, I think it might have been a Bloomberg interview that I had watched when he was doing that Carnegie Mellon thing back a few months ago, talking about AI transforming the future of this country. Obama had joked when someone asked him about how we're going to control this technology that we'll just pull out the plug. And, I mean, we have established there's anybody out there, maybe people who watch the Kardashians, might think that there's some big plug. And there was at one point when everything was kind of electromechanical and wasn't under some sort of Faraday cage shielding or radiation immune electronics. I saw a while back different federal agencies were contracting for radiation immune electronics that could take electromagnetic and real high industrial dangerous environments, including space and Fukushima. But what was my point in that? I got lost for a second. We've had these industry insiders, far and few between, and the general public isn't paying attention. I'm going to ask you to do something for me for 2017, please. Pretty please, because I don't ask for much. But I'm going to tell you, the topics that are discussed on UCY, I personally, and I'm not being biased at all, I personally think that we do a pretty good job of covering what is going on. And many of the hosts here on UCY are also journalists who write a lot of amazing stuff. And they all work for reputable, non-fake news sites that don't happen to be corporately paid for or controlled. We all do this as a labor of love and because we have a conscience. We are investigators, researchers, and humans who care about what is happening to this planet. So one thing, one simple thing that you can do to help us is spread and share our shows, please. Because I'll tell you, there is one thing that motivates people to keep doing the show, and it's not money, because there isn't any. And it's not the thousands of listeners that we know that are listening right at this very moment. But what does boost that little dopamine button? Let's use it in a good way. What does boost the hosts here is to get some feedback, to get some comments, to get some views on their YouTube archive, and to feel like they are making a difference. Because if you don't feel like you're making a difference, you know, you got those two little guys that sit on your shoulder, and I've been doing pretty well making the one, the little one with horns, kind of go take a siesta. It's winter time here now, so he's hibernating. Come spring, though, he comes back out full force. I can't help it. In the spring, I get crazy. And in the summer, I got to keep him in check. But in the wintertime, he goes to sleep. But, you know, we got this battle going on between good and evil. This battle going on between what is right and what is not. And the future of humanity, and you know, I know it sounds a little bit crazy-ish, but it's not. I think right now, if there ever was even one grain of truth in any religious, global religious ancient text, there always was some battle between good and evil. It always had to do with human nature and us destroying ourselves. And guys, I think this is the moment. I think greed, really ultimate greed and control and groping with being able to become gods, being able to conquer life itself and creation, and then to be able to control it, and then to be able to live forever. Guys, I mean, really, this is where this technology is heading. And we've established that Tech Titans, their new quest, is to live forever and defy death. That's what this is all about. All you got to do is look at Kurzweil. Kurzweil seemed to shave off 40 years in the last year of time. Go look at him now. Those pictures from recently. I mean, I don't know what he's doing, but hopefully he's not nanobots. But I'd like to see a breakdown of what his daily regimen is. But these guys are really groping with not only modifying the future of humans, because they are looking at longevity medicine and how to extend life, and it's all a part of these 21st century cures technologies. But the problem is, it costs a lot of money. And R&D, you know, it's a big line item budget for big pharma. But we got all these people who are consumed by greed and pride out there, who have been groomed to be consumers by Bernays, who've been conditioned to be fed information and led like the Pied Piper. If you push the right buttons, here, see this big dark door? We put a big shiny red bow on it. Just go right in through there, down the end of the hall, and then make a left. You know, I don't know. It reminds me of a beef slaughterhouse. Anyway, it is definitely a hotly debated topic, so please share the shows, guys. Make your New Year's resolution for 2017 to help you see why. Wake some people up. Here are 9 tech giants that are investing in artificial intelligence. Microsoft, of course, is one. It aims to understand its users. Oh, hold the phone. Wait, it's running a presentation. I was like, what? All right, hold on. Da, 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 da. Number 4. I was wondering why it started on number 5. 3, ding, 2, ding, 1. All right. Tech giants investing in AI. Uber acquired yesterday, so this was actually December 5th, an AI startup co-founded by noted scientists aiming to redefine the boundaries of machine learning. And in this strategic move, Geometric Intelligence's 15 employees will create a new dedicated AI lab based at Uber's headquarters in San Francisco. With Uber investing heavily in self-driving cars, it is not a big surprise that it would invest in AI operations, potentially rivaling those tech giants, Google, Microsoft, and Facebook. And number 2, Google. In 2014, Google bought artificial intelligence startup DeepMind for a huge $400 million, making it one of the largest AI acquisitions to date. Earlier this year, Google's DeepMind had created an AI project that uses reasoning to conquer the London Underground. And in a paper published by Nature, it explained how the AI and human-like mind could find the quickest routes between underground stations using neural networks to store data and recall information to solve problems. Now, remember just recently, too, we found out Google's AI, remember Kurzweil is involved in here as well, so is the search engine, but Google's AI was able to do 2 interesting things. One was to create its own encryption on the fly. And number 2 was to be able to create its own language to translate between 2 other languages that it had never seen before. So, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty frightening to me that we have AI already that is potentially already out in the wild through Google. Remember, we talked about the search engine head stepping down, the guy from the very beginning, and the head of AI taking over Google search. Of course, we got this whole truth versus fake news agenda that's been spinning in the middle of all of this. Google with its truth algorithm, Google now with their AI taking over search, Google with their verified news at google.news.com. We find out that there are a lot of networks that have been totally embedded with the narrative, and we did a show, I don't know if it was this week or last week, where we read through the section of the NDAA 2013, and I don't remember the name of that section, but it authorized and legalized propaganda that had formerly been only allowed against foreign actors in foreign countries to now be turned upon the American public. That broadcasting, I don't remember what they were called, the BSG, the broadcasting something of governors, and the State Department were all in charge of that. Hillary Clinton with her connections to the State Department. And now we just see this afternoon, Colbert, another one, whoops, caught with his hand in the cookie jar, with spouting out rehearsed news that was maybe influenced by the Clinton Foundation. We have seen a lot of that. So guys, don't believe anything that you see. This fake news narrative is another brainwashing experiment on the public. Yesterday, Otto told me a story came out, and I honestly didn't believe it, though I should have believed it. And sure enough, Pope Francis has now come out and called fake news a sin. You're going to burn in hell, people. And you might even become a coprophiliac. That's what he said. Pope Francis compares fake news to arousal by excrement. Yes. I said in chat this morning, I'd really like to know now, since Pope Francis has told us that abortion is okay, and aliens are okay, we should love them and treat them like they're our brothers, and deviant sex is okay. Well, now he also tells us fake news is not okay. And if you read fake news, you'll roll around in excrement. Pope Francis' warning about the dangers of spreading fake news. This is out of CNET.com. It's one of the industry publications. Comparing the media's desire for scandal with an obsession with feces. Now, and this is what I'm trying to illustrate here, is that as they're rolling out all of these improvements in medicine, in artificial intelligence, which is really behind all of what is happening right now, they are playing psychological manipulations on us. And anyone who's a Kardashian fan, likes big butts, is probably going to pay attention to a headline like this. The Pope said, and anyone who's a holy roller might actually believe that if they read fake news, they might go to hell. So this is a very, very interesting card that they have now played. This means that they are serious. This means that they are pulling all stops out. If they wheel out their Pope, stick their hand in there, and make his mouth move, and put words in his mouth. And you know, very interestingly, we've already seen technology that can do that. Remember the face skins? And then all they needed was 20 minutes of their voice to be able to put any words in their mouth. Very interesting. So Pope Francis says you're going to go to hell if you read fake news and roll around in poop and enjoy it. In an interview published Wednesday with the Belgian Catholic weekly Tertio, the Pope warned that spreading disinformation was, quote, probably the greatest damage that the media can do. He went on to say that using the media for this purpose, rather than to educate the public, amounted to sin, according to Reuters. The abundance of fake news on the internet, ding, has led up to President-elect Donald Trump's victory. Remember, we had said that. They're trying to blame all of us for the fact that Trump got elected and not for the fact that there's a lot of corruption that has been uncovered with Hillary Clinton. You know, like we kind of agreed in chat, it really was the not Hillary Clinton vote rather than the pro-Trump vote necessarily, because the sad fact of the matter is that regardless of who is in that seat, he doesn't, she doesn't really have a choice as to the long-term plans, okay? Trump's victory last month became a hot-button issue because they said fake news did it, entangling tech giants like Facebook and Google, like we just established. Numerous allegations have been made that fake news shared on the social networks helped Trump win. The Pope said that these sins are comparable to coprophilia, which is an abnormal interest, in case you didn't know, and pleasure in fecal matter. I think the media has to be very clear, very transparent, so you don't want the Pope damning you to hell and telling you that you're a piece of shit. That's pretty much what I think it would come down to in translation. And I think the media have to be very clear, very transparent, and not fall into and write. That's one thing that some of the people from the quote-unquote fake news have pointed out, is what do we call the absolute blatant lies that the mainstream has been telling us over the years, like the weapons of mass destruction or the Russian hackers, which they're still trying to spin that narrative after the alphabet agencies came back and said, no, sorry, we have no evidence of that. There's always been fake news. And with that advent, notice they don't ever mention the NDAA 2013 legalizing propaganda to be utilized on the American public. And we have a recipe for complete and utter pulling the wool over our eyes. So, all right. And I promised, we are going to get to the brain. But I think we're going to have to back up the truck a little bit on Monday. But here, I'll find something to hit a story right now. Here's one that came out December 1st. A new implant. So put on a seatbelt, people, because 21st Century Cures Act is going to be inked, maybe even with a robo pen. If Obama's already on his Christmas vacation in Hawaii, a new implant is being developed for enhancing human memory. Ding, that was Kurzweil's whole dealio about augmentation. In 1998, Andy Clark and David Chalmers proposed that a computer operates together with our brains as an extended mind, potentially offering additional processing capabilities like we have in the cloud right now as we work out problems, as well as an annex for our memories containing information, images, and so on. And that's exactly what it is, CPU on demand as well as cloud storage. And now a professor of biomedical engineering at the University of Southern California, Theodor Berger, is working to bring to market human memory enhancement in the form of a prosthetic implanted into the brain. Ding! He is already testing it attached to humans. Like I said, down a dark hallway, the prosthetic, which Berger has been working on for 10 years, can function as an artificial hippocampus, the area in the brain associated with memory and spatial navigation. The plan is for the device to convert short-term memory into long-term memory and potentially store it as the hippocampus does, and his research has been encouraging so far. Berger began teaching a rabbit to associate an audio tone with a puff of air administered to the rabbit's face, causing it to blink, and electrodes, this is horrible, attached to the rabbit, allow Berger to observe patterns of activity firing off in its hippocampus. Berger refers to these patterns as a space-time code, representing where the neurons are in the rabbit's brain at a specific moment. Berger watched them evolving as the rabbit learned to associate the tone of the puff of air. And now he thinks that at some point they'll be able to do this in larger creatures. Berger then built an artificial rat hippocampus. This is his experimental prosthesis to test his observations, and by training rats to press a layer, a lever with electrodes monitoring their hippocampuses, he was able to acquire the same codes. So, let's see. Now, we are trying to decide what we're going to do with it. All of these prosthetics interfacing with the brain have one fundamental challenge. There are billions of neurons and trillions of connections, but that's where AI comes in. And what he envisions is bringing to market a brain prosthetic with people with memory problems. Oh, like Alzheimer's patients? Well, that's what I would think. The tiny device would be implanted into the hippocampus where it would stimulate neurons responsible for short-term memories, turn them into long-term, and we are hoping now to help patients suffering from Alzheimer's or our global epidemic of dementia, as well as stroke victims and people who have brain injuries. Berger's business partner is Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson sold his payment gateway to PayPal and started his own venture capitalist funds. So put on a seatbelt, people. Human trials so far have been with inpatient epileptics with electrodes already in place. And Berger's team has observed and recorded activity during their tests, and it has been encouraging. So let's move this forward. 21st Century Cures Act and brain implants coming to a clinical study near you. All right, as of an awesome Friday, check out all the radio this weekend, and I will catch up with you on Monday.
Ozzy's cake.